and call the Wilmer Utility Commission to order. Today is Monday, February 22nd, 11:45 a.m. Just a quick refresher on masks. I think we're doing a good job of that today. If you're not speaking, please keep your masks on. If you are, you can remove them during times of speaking. So just want to make sure we're keeping up with that. We do have information on compliance and all of that in our packets, so hopefully everybody's had a chance to review that as well. With that, does anybody have any changes to our agenda? If not, we'll move into the consent agenda, which consists of our minutes from the February 8th meeting and bill payments in the amount of roughly $1.3 million. And General Manager Heron, perhaps there's a couple things in bill payments to take a look at. Sure.
Thank you, Commissioner Matter. Usually at the beginning of the year, we point out the power supplies in addition to our capital. So our normal bills are in yellow. There's two of them, page 3 and page 4. And in addition, on page 3, you see in red, that's one of our four power supply bills, Compass, Central Minnesota Power Agency and Services. We have our nuclear contract through them, WPPI, it's Wisconsin Public Power. It's up to, it varies somewhat month by month, it's up to 9 megawatts of energy and power. So that's one of our power supplies. And you go to the next page, the other is Great River Energy. We have a contract with Great River Energy for 20 megawatts, both capacity and energy. That's pretty much fixed. That's every month the same. And so you'll see that in every month as well. Our next bill listing, next meeting, we'll have our other two on, which is our WAPA and Missouri River. So that would be my updates.
Thank you for that.
Additional questions. Thank you.
Any questions on bill payments?
Just a question, John, on Great River Energy. Refresh my memory. How much longer does that contract run?
That contract goes through 2024, I believe. 23 or 24.
Okay.
I believe it's 24. I can look it up. I'll send you an email.
Okay.
John, I know that over the course of time there was step increases to that contract. Have we experienced all of those increases now, or is that an annual thing?
That's an annual, both on the WIPI and on our GRE.
Okay.
Every year. It's not at the first of the year, they're mid-year, you know, depending on when the contract was signed. But
okay.
They're annual through the end of it. Our WIPI contract goes through 2033 and 34. It's two contracts, they're split. The megawatts that we get from them, because they're coming out of two different nuclear plants, so therefore it's split. We got two contracts. One is a year sooner than the other on that one.
Thank you. Any other questions on bill payments? All right, if not, I'd look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
Yes, so moved. Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Any further discussion? All right, Ms. Mathiason, if you could take a roll, please.
Commissioner Johnson?
Yes.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Thank you.
The resolution passes. Thank you. All right, next on the agenda, we have our COVID-19 financial impact update. Mr. Riddell.
Okay, I'll just let it hiccup. Put it in here. Just put it in there. MS?
Yep.
Commissioners. Most of you had already seen most of this information. I believe the last time that I presented was in November or December, which had information up to October. So today we're going to show you the total COVID-19 impact on the WMU from February of 2020 to December of 2020. In the first slide here, what you're going to see is we have late charges, and in 2019 and in 2020. So on the bottom right-hand corner, you can see that under 2019, we had a total of 282,000 late charges that were billed to our customers, and in 2020, we had a total of 358,000 late charges that were not billed. They were waived due to government mandates. We had an increase of about 29% of our late charges fees in total. So something to keep in mind with that as well. And a note on the bottom of the slide, you can see that the MMUA is working with the Minnesota PUC for guidance on restarting penalty charges and disconnecting services. And the WMU does suggest that we begin disconnecting in the spring if payment arrangements haven't been made by our customers after the cold weather rule expires. In addition to that, just to let you know, the staff will move forward with this after all the proper paperwork is documented and items are in place with customers to make sure that they're aware of what will happen. I don't know if any of you have any questions, but if you do, feel free to just jump in. The next slide, the next three slides are going to be all about our electric for 2020. On this slide, you'll see that it's past due. So we have past dues of 30, 60, and 90 days. And we're comparing again 2019 to 2020. You can see that the line graphs are somewhat comparable, but the most important part is that on the bottom left-hand corner where we see that the 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days are all higher than the December 2019 days as well. So 30 days is $42,000 higher, 60 days is $6,500 higher, and the 90 days is about $15,600 higher. One very important comment I'd like to make is for the 90 days. On that very last asterisk down there, it says that $42,000 of the 90-day past due was moved from the 90 days past due to liens on property. That's why we see a pretty sharp decrease on the 90 days portion from November to December. On the next page, we're looking at total demand from 2019 to 2020. And you can see that in January, February, March, April, May, September, October, November, and December, 2019 had higher demand than 2020. And on the table on the right-hand side, you can also see that we total demand went down 2.6% in 2020 compared to 2019. On the next slide, we have total sales or usage for the WMU. And on the table on the right-hand side, you can see that in 2019, the WMU had customers used a total of about 249 million kilowatt hours. And in 2020, that was down to 243.5 million kilowatt hours. So in total, there was about 2.3% less usage in 2020 compared to 2019. And on the bottom part of the graph, you can also see that residential usage went up 4.6%, but commercial and industrial use went down 4.7%. So here we're looking at total usage or sales. On the next slide, we're actually looking at revenue. And I just want to point back, we had 2.3% less usage, but for revenue, it was only down 1.8% as industrial and commercial entities are using more power, so they get a lower reduced rate. As our residential use is higher, that kind of changes that revenue percentage. But anyway, in 2019, we had about $25 million in revenue, and in 2020, we had 24.5, which is 1.8% less in 2020 compared to 2019, or $436,000. And again, our revenue for residential went up 4.6%, and our commercial and industrial went down 4.3%. So that's pretty much it with electricity. Does anyone have any questions on that right now? If not, I'll move on to water. past due for water, you can see that it has similar patterns as 2019 and as 2020. But importantly, again, in the portion on the bottom left-hand side, that the 30 days is $5,200 higher, the 60 days is $1,072 higher, and the 90 days is almost $2,000 higher compared to 2019. Again, you can see the water 90-day past due, there was a sharp decline in November to December, and that has to do with, again, putting liens on, taking that off of the 90-day and putting it onto liens, those monies due, and some additional help in the CARES Act funding, which I can get to in a little bit as well. Here we're at year-to-date sales or usage. On the right-hand side, we can see that we have, from 2019 to 2020, we're about 2.1% less from the last year, but residential, again, is up 9.5%, and commercial and industrial is down 8.1%. Then, on revenue, one very important point for anyone who may not have been here is that in January of 2020, the commission approved of a 20% increase rate for water. So that being said, in 2020, we were at 20.1% increase compared to 2019 rates. So that includes the 20% rate increase that we put in as well. And on the bottom table on the right-hand side, you can see that residential revenue went up 26.8% and commercial and industrial went up 12.8%. The last two slides that I have are a basic summary of what we have. On the left-hand side, we have the potential, the whole slide is about the potential financial losses. On the left-hand side, we have the items or the potential losses. In the middle, we have the estimated cost set up in April of 2020. And the right-hand side is the year-to-date or updated version of those actual losses. So disconnection fees were not existent during this time. The next one down is late fees to date. We estimated $75,000 at a three-month estimate. And currently, again, we have $358,537 that are all waived as well. We don't expect to be recouping any of that. Bankruptcy, there is an estimated cost of $1.3 million in bankruptcy losses. And at this point, delinquencies of electric and water are approximately $72,199 higher than in December of 2019, which means that there is a risk of some of these customers going into bankruptcy potentially after we are allowed to do shutoffs or cutoffs of service. So we're waiting to see what will happen with that. However, as of to date, we've only had two major bankruptcies apply or sent in information in regards to that. And we got that information in July or sometime in the middle of last year of 2020. So we haven't seen a lot of increase in bankruptcy losses. Next is reduced revenue sales. We assume 5% reduction at $1.65 million. And at this point, we had $436,000 of lost revenue from water, from electric, but a $2,000 increase from water after the 20% rate increase projections. And so finally, the total potential financial losses, there was estimated that it might be at $3,025,000, and currently we're sitting at $795,126 of losses. This is a third of the expected losses from April of 2020. And on the last page of the summary, we assumed or expected that there would be $3,025,000 of potential financial losses. Because of that, the total projects delayed was $2,452,000, that being $2,200,000 on capital projects and $244,000 on O&M. Which is a difference of $572,350, which would come from the catastrophic fund balance of $3 million. And finally, the last point that I'd like to bring up is that the WMU has received $23,288.10 from CARES Act dollars. We are still receiving CARES Act dollars, but the cutoff of the applications were December 9th of 2020. So although we might see some more money come in, we're not expecting it to be a significant amount at this time. Are there any other, or are there any questions about this information?
Commissioners, any questions?
Yeah, I have a quick question. In terms of the losses that we are estimating here, is this just the penalties, or is people on the paying, you know, with also the service that provided?
So I believe that these original losses estimates of $3 million was set up in April of 2020, which was the potential expected losses of both late fees and potential revenue decreases. But currently we're at about almost $800,000, not at the $3 million that we expected. And maybe, John, you could talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Is it a possibility to separate late fee and the revenues that we lost because of the service provided or energy provided?
Excellent question, Commissioner Mabu. If we go to maybe, yeah, Chris is on the side. If you look up there on that side, our late fees that we waived is $358,000. So those were late fees. We will not be collecting those back. They were waived. I'm not going to say mandated, but if we were requested to waive those fees and if we did not honor that request, there was legislation being proposed to mandate the request. So those fees have not been applied. They've been waived. A couple of slides earlier, maybe if Chris wants to back up, you'll see our normal revenue for late fees is about $280,000. Right there, if you look under 282,650, that's our typical late fees collected, and we waived $385,537. So that's the separation between late and delinquent. So our late fees are totaling that.
And the fees are $282,000, correct?
Yep. Okay. $282,000 were 2019 late fees.
Fees. Okay. Yeah.
That's what we actually collected in 2019 for late fees. Now in 2020, based on our account balances or charges, those late fees totaled $358,000, and we waived all of those.
Oh, yeah. And what was the service, the energy provider that, you know, that we lost?
Energy provider that we lost? Yeah. If we go to, which slide, Chris, on electric? Water was about even.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And on the electric side, our...
That should be slide six, I think, is revenue.
Yes.
Yep. Slide six. Okay. Yep.
On there, you can see that on our revenue is $436,589. It's in parentheses right underneath the blue bar on the right side there.
Okay.
So that's what we anticipated was reduced revenue, which is reduced kilowatt sales, which drives revenue. So basically, just shy of $500,000 on revenue and slightly more on lost late penalties.
So that's the money that it's kind of a little bit confusing to me, to be honest, because I'm not sure. Good at these numbers, but I'm just really trying to make sure that, because I know that the late fees is, you know, $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
What about the electric we provide and the water you said is all even, it's fine. How much the electric side that we completely didn't get paid for?
Well, that's a different question if I'm understanding your question correctly. Our revenues are down, our sales were down. If we go to, let's go to our 90 day, Chris.
Yep.
Okay, you see the 90 day, the lower right hand corner? The top line is this year, the blue line is last year. So we got a separation there of about $20,000 after certification. We got a separation of roughly $40,000 before our property tax levy. So there's about $40,000 that's hanging out there, as Chris alluded to, that we might not get collected, could end up in bankruptcy, but all things considered, we feel pretty fortunate where we are. I think we finished a year out fairly strong, actually very strong, all things considered, compared to other businesses. So we had somewhat of a bounce back as we were coming into the end of the year. You know, as noted on the water side, we ended up pretty much right on budget on the water side, slightly down on the electric side. So all in all, financially, we ended the year, in my opinion, very solid, all things considered.
Good, yeah. And that's good. I understand that because of the COVID, you know, this, you know, the demand, you know, went down and some restaurants and other businesses closed. But my question was more in terms of, because we know that the solid amount that we lost because of the late fee is this much amount that we lost. So I was wondering the services that we provided already used that we are not going to collect it at all. So that is my concern. It wasn't too clear to me. Now you're losing, it's about $40,000 that we might lose. So that I just want to just understand how this whole thing mathematically works.
And when you look at that, at $40,000, I'm comparing it from 19 to 20. Mm-hmm. When you look at the total we have on our books at $40,000, we're sitting at roughly, at the end of November, we're sitting at roughly $100,000.
$100,000, okay.
No, but the difference between the prior year and this year is about
$40,000. Oh, the 2 years, so.
Yep.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Other questions? Commissioner Magnuson.
As you just mentioned, John, you said we had a very solid year. Are we still looking at taking funds out of the catastrophic downs to for the potential losses?
No, excellent question. With the adjustments that we had made back in April to our budgets, both O&M and our capital, we ended up with relatively strong account balances at year end. So we have a planning committee meeting coming up with revised budgets at the request of the commission and planning committee. We'll be getting into those details at that meeting.
Other questions? Commissioner Johnson.
I just have I'm learning. So when you say you move the 90 days to liens, does that mean it's a two-part question. Are you putting a lien on the property, and do we ever do a revenue recapture?
Actually, excellent question, both.
Okay.
We use property tax liens, that's correct. We put liens on properties, and we also use revenue recapture as our first source whenever possible.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Other questions? All right, thank you, Chris, for that update. I know we finished last year maybe a little better than we were expecting, but that doesn't mean we're necessarily out of the woods for 2021 either, so I don't want to get complacent on what might be coming down the road this year. One final question that I did have, when we talk about going back to disconnects and having that discussion, is that something that will come back through planning, or is that something that will just be more of a staff discussion?
Unless planning wants it to come back, but I would envision that to be a staffing level decision. We've always collected it. Once we're able to move forward and collect again, we need to. So we will internally at staff level, we talked about it already. How do we inform people that when the cold weather rule expires, if we don't have arrangements, if they haven't reached out to us with all the notifications that we do every month, every billing cycle, we are going to be moving forward with disconnect to try and promote customers reaching out or coming in and making arrangements so they can maintain their services. So no, I would envision that as at staff level.
So as we do transition back into that, my only request then would be that, you know, for the sake of the public, that we're doing our extra due diligence and making sure that we're communicating with our customers. So thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners.
All right. Next on the agenda, we have our MMUA Legislative Conference recap, and Commissioners Maboub and DeBleek. Maboub, were you able to attend?
I'm sorry, I didn't attend.
Okay.
Some emergency came up, so I was unable to.
Okay, I wasn't sure on that.
Sorry.
Sure. Commissioner DeBleek, do you have an update on that for us?
Just a little recap things. There was Lori Bishop with the Department of, State Department of Energy. Yeah. Was there, talked about clean energy. The thing she brought up was that the program and the reduction of renewables and being replaced, replacing the coal-fired power plants and coal-fired, since 2005, renewable electricity has increased to about 28%, and the coal-powered generation has been reduced to about 25% of our electric resources in the state. One thing, wind generation is now about 21% of our electric resources, this on a statewide basis. The whole thing goes back to reducing CO2 emissions, and we've been reduced by 28% since 2005. 2005 was the baseline for this. And they're looking at pretty much a power sector to be pretty much all carbon free by 2040 is the goal. See, I think under this, there was a legislative update, and under that, main takeaway there is the power industry has reduced our carbon footprint, not quite to the extent of what it should be, but I can say 2040, they're looking at carbon neutral. The big push now is going to be investing in biofuels and electric cars. Basically the transportation industries, which has not really gone down at all in their carbon footprint, the big push is going to be to have that that whole industry reduce its carbon footprint over the next several years. Like I say, a lot of the focus is on renewable energy and reducing carbon, so that's pretty much my takeaway from the meeting.
Thank you for the update.
It was a Zoom meeting, so it's...
Yeah. As things have been lately.
Much in.
Sure. Mr. Heron, did you have some additional information?
Just one thing, Commissioner Dubilly hit on all the high points. I just want to expand a little bit on the greenhouse gases that Commissioner Dubilly mentioned. Well, in the energy sector, we are meeting our targets and are actually leading the target set for generation. However, as a whole, the greenhouse gases have only been reduced by 8%, so they're really looking at where they need to focus their energy and resources on to start addressing carbon other than at the energy side of it, other than generation. So yeah, they're only at 8% of what they were hoping to reduce their greenhouse gases by. There'll be more push coming from PCA regarding reduction in greenhouse gases. Other than that, Commissioner DeBlee pretty much hit on the highlights.
Thank you. All right, next on the agenda then we have the Missouri River Board recap. Mr. Heron.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Matter. Unless there's questions, I'll ask Mike to go into the video and then I can answer additional questions after if there are any. Thank you.
Welcome to our board report from the January meeting of the Missouri River Energy Services and Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency Boards of Directors. This is Joey Livingston, Vice President of Member Services and Communications, standing in for Member Services Representative Jody Peck. The first meeting of the new year was called to order by newly elected Missouri River Board Chair Vernell Roberts from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. Roberts started the meeting by introducing Murray Holstein, a new director from Sioux Center, Iowa, and John Prescott, a new director from Vermilion, South Dakota. In their first order of business, the Missouri River Board ratified new committee assignments as follows. Murray Holstein will serve on the Finance Committee. Jim Hoy was appointed Chair of the Member Technology Committee, and Leanne Schlackenmeyer will serve on that committee as well. Scott Hain was appointed Chair of the Personnel Committee, and John Prescott will also serve on the Personnel Committee. Steve Lehner was appointed Chair of the Nominating Committee, and Guy Swenson will also serve on that committee. Later in the meeting, the Western Minnesota Board elected Guy Swenson from Barnesville, Minnesota, as Vice President to replace Vernell Roberts, who stepped down due to his election as Missouri River Board Chair. Roberts will remain a member of the Western Minnesota Board. Missouri River staff updated the boards on COVID-19 numbers, which are trending downward across Missouri River's four-state region. Although the Missouri River office in Sioux Falls, South Dakota remains closed until further notice, the number of active cases in the area is at its lowest point since early October. If the downward trend in active cases continues, Missouri River employees will return to work at the office on three separate phases. The boards have been meeting via WebEx since April of 2020 due to COVID-19 concerns. Each month, they consider when the meetings might resume in person. The boards agreed to meet virtually through March and are hopeful that the April meeting might be held in Sioux Falls if the downward trend continues. Additionally, Missouri River is monitoring the rollout of vaccines in all four states and working to make the vaccine available to employees. More information on Missouri River's COVID-19 plans is available on the members-only section of the mrenergy.com website. The boards also reviewed a favorable settlement Missouri River reached with five cooperative and investor-owned utilities on transmission overcharges to most of our members. In this case, Missouri River argued that the utilities have overcharged for both WAPA and Missouri River transmission deliveries in SPP and in MISO since 2015 by excluding a large portion of the loads of those utilities from transmission calculations. Missouri River anticipates that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission will accept the proposed settlement in early May. The board then reviewed proposed criteria for determining the allocation of anticipated refunds to affected Missouri River members. Board approval of the methodology is expected at its February meeting. In the past, Missouri River has conducted in-person member surveys in even-numbered years and member satisfaction surveys in odd-numbered years. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, all in-person member surveys scheduled for 2020 were postponed and will now be held this year via webinar with member utility and city representatives. A copy of the survey will be sent to members later this month, and virtual meetings will be scheduled with each member throughout February and March. Then, later this summer, Missouri River will conduct its traditional member satisfaction survey. Missouri River holds a preliminary permit to study the feasibility of a pump storage project in Gregory County, South Dakota. The permit is set to expire in 2021, and staff provided the boards with a review of the project and plans to file for a permit extension. In further action, the boards reviewed a newly developed legislative fact sheet on the Gregory County Pump Storage Project that introduces the concept and value of pump storage to legislators. It's expected that the board will approve all the legislative fact sheets during the February board meeting. In one final piece of business, the boards reviewed and approved the expense for capital improvements at the Marshall Wind Farm which Western Minnesota bought in March of 2020. The capital improvements are necessary for maintaining and updating the farm's 9 turbine generators for current and future energy production. That wraps up our recap from the January board meeting. Thank you for watching, and remember to join us again next month for our report from the February board meeting.
Any questions on that? All right, that covers the Missouri River update. We'll go into the general manager's report.
All right, thank you, Chair Ratter. We have our APPA webinar series coming up. We have Commissioner Ratter, Commissioner Johnson, Commissioner DeBleek signed up for it. I guess I'm assuming or would assume that everybody's going to watch it at their office or their home or wherever, but by all means, take notes if you're wondering, you know, how we do business in comparison to APPA's recommended best practices. Reach out to me after the webinar or stop in one day, give me a call, stop in one day, and we can go through what our policies, procedures are in relation to what APPA suggests as best practices. For the most part, over the years, as we watch their governance series, things that are applicable to us, we typically modify our policies to pretty much be aligned with APPA's recommendation to the extent that it's applicable to how we do business. We got a couple meetings coming up. Some of the agenda's on there. We do have a planning committee meeting set up for next week. Thursday, is it, Beth?
Yes.
I believe so. So agendas will be going out probably next week, Monday, Tuesday, for that meeting. And labor committee meeting, we're working on pulling together information for that, so the labor committee can be watching for that invite here shortly as well. And one item that's not on your agenda is last week, you know, did the cold weather and Texas, what you heard about Texas and energy and shortage of energy, shortage of gas, did that affect us up here, up in the upper Midwest? It did, but it did not have a significant impact on Wilmer itself. There's some communities, even as far as Moorhead, they're in the SPP grid, and they had rolling blackouts up there from what I understood, but here in Wilmer, we did not see that. However, through the entire state, with the gas prices that they were, there was a significant increase for gas for those utilities that were consumers of gas through generation, or some utilities, there's like a dozen utilities, gas utilities in Minnesota. It had a significant impact on those utilities. So, but for Wilmer itself, we do not have our power supply bills, but we were not notified from our entities that there was a significant impact, that we should be aware of it as we start getting our February invoices. So I would say for right now that it had minimal impact, if any, on us here at Wilmer directly. So
we were, John, we weren't called on to turn on any other generation?
We were notified to be on standby, but we were not requested to run.
Thank you for that update, John. During the cold spell we had this past week, did we have to shut down our turbines due to the cold, the windmills?
No, our turbines will function to, I think the target is 25 degrees below zero. Then turbines shut down. So our turbines, through this cold snap, did not shut down. We did not reach to 25 below. So we're getting close a couple nights, but our turbines ran through this cold spell.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Possibilities, what happened in Texas might happen here too.
Pardon me?
Possibilities what happened in Texas may happen here too.
Commissioner Mabou, that's a good question. We talked about it at staff level. Could that happen here? Our catastrophic event plan is pretty much geared towards a local catastrophic event, not, you know, an upper Midwest event. Could it happen here? Three winters ago, if you recall, up here when we had an extremely cold week, 10 days, we were very close to being there as well up here.
Is it?
Could it happen? I'm not going to say it can't happen. It could happen, but.
Is there any plan to mitigate in case something like maybe not 10 days, maybe a month, continuously something like that happens?
That's a good question. I don't know how you'd mitigate. Like when you ask for a month, I don't know how you'd mitigate an entire month. Yeah, but we will be bringing, you know, this Texas scenario forward to the planning committee. We have it on our agenda, adding it to our agenda. We talk about that at planning committee level, our catastrophic event plan and how it would actually come into play on a scenario like what went on down in Texas. And do we want to modify it at all?
Thank you.
Oh, excellent question.
Any other questions? All right, thank you for that report, John. Any other business to come before the commission today? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion to adjourn. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.